TalkRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect and damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Silk.
I'm Roddy Piper.
This is Hawk Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Master. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace. And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
WTR Sunday night for another week here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm not got the guy who usually opens the show, but apparently everyone else is too busy to open the show. But we have two people here who are willing to talk about Final Resolution. One is the one, the only, Mr. My Name is Wojcik, Alan Wojcik.
Hey guys, how are you?
And then we have the promoter that we all aspire to be, the one, the only, the T-I-M-M-Y, Timmy Stein.
Yeah, everybody's wondering, where the hell is this guy? Because I introduced him. Yeah, damn it. Old guy. Start talking. Well, I was talking, but the mic was muted.
No one called you old, though.
Well, yeah, you know, I was sort of thinking that, here it comes, motherfucker, here it comes, motherfucker, here it comes, motherfucker, don't you fucking say, well, oh, he didn't, okay. So you caught me unawares, you threw me for a loop, and I forgot to unmute. And Alan, quit breathing into the microphone. Hi, kids.
Hi, Tim.
Oh, do I have to keep talking?
He's frustrated after watching 30 minutes and getting no final resolution to the match.
Well, there it is. Them. Yeah, I have a confession to make. I was really paying no attention to the pay-per-view at all. There's a reason for that, Alan.
Shocking. The Calgary Flames were on, weren't they?
No, actually, they played last night, and they shut out the Edmonton Oilers by a final score of 3-0. Jerome McGinley scoring two goals, one of them an empty netter, to seal the bet. I'm sorry, Alan, you brought up hockey. You shouldn't do that on a wrestling show.
Scary, isn't it?
Well, at least not on a wrestling show where, you know, I'm appearing live. Because I'll start talking hockey. Do you know what I mean?
Well, nobody wants to talk about this pay-per-view but me, it seems. Omega's busy, Spug's not here, Mace is wherever, so.
And I've been busy dealing with emails concerning Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. For those of you listening who don't realize, I am the promoter for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
Get out of town.
I created the damn thing, I started the damn thing up, and I'm running the damn thing. Ooh, yeah.
Shocking. And where they can they get information about Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, Tim?
All they got to do is go to www.canadianallpro.com. As a matter of fact, our debut show is up on the video page. And I think that you should all watch it after we're done talking live tonight. Go to www.canadianallpro.com and watch some really, 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 really good independent professional wrestling. Alan, have you watched yet? If you say no, I'm going to kick you in the nards.
What happened to Johnny Devine the other night? I'm curious, because Rock freaked out, and he's like, oh, he's not there, he's not there.
Oh, no, he pulled a hotshot Johnny Devine and showed up just in time.
See, he invoked the Bret Hart clause in his contract of, I can be there, yeah, around that time.
Yeah, no, everything was all good. My business partner was starting to panic and everything a little bit, and I'm like, I don't fucking know where he is. Let me try calling his girlfriend. She didn't answer. And so we're all starting to wonder, oh, shit. And then he showed up.
Yeah, and then Tim contacts me, and then we go through the chain of events. But he was in action at Borders Crossing at Holiday Havoc, wasn't he, Tim?
Yes. Hotshot Johnny Devine making his second straight appearance in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. Former TNA X Division champion has a bit of a little bit of a grudge against the All-American Steve Rivers happening. Steve Rivers, of course, was supposed to wrestle Johnny Devine in the main event at Onslaught, our debut show, November 5th. Steve Rivers comes out and whines and cries and complains about a buggered up knee. He can't wrestle. So he brings out somebody to fight Johnny Devine in the main event, a convict named Slammer. Which Johnny Devine had a lot of fun with that name, and just, you know,
just leave it at that.
Yeah, leave. You know, he likes getting his ass.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So apparently in prison he enjoys getting his ass slammed. That, you know, that was basically the illusion of the joke from Johnny Devine, and looking right at the camera, doing, he likes getting slammed, kids. You know, and yeah, that's Johnny, all right. Oh, no, it was great. You got to see the video if you haven't yet. It's just absolutely awesome.
I'll
and then,
check
of course,
it out.
Rivers kind of threw a swerve and actually came out and wrestled Sidney Steele at the first show. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's beating down Sidney Steele after he wins the match, and Devine comes out to make the save. Rivers ducks out, and all of a sudden he's limping again.
Dastardly heel that guy.
Yeah, and so they were both at the show on Thursday night at the Border Crossing Bar, 1814 36th Street Southeast, Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Show was sold out too.
And the show was sold out. It was practically standing room only, Alan.
Sweet, that's always good to hear at a show.
No, it was fantastic. It was off the hook. And anybody listening actually did catch video of the first show. I'm sure that, Rock, I know you saw it. You'll agree that the first match, the first ever match in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling was absolutely off the hook between Mike Briggs and Pistol Pete Wilson.
Yeah, it really was. They also did a feature on Mike Briggs that you can find on CanadianAllPro.com. But, yeah, I think Mike Briggs has a lot of potential.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, Pistol Pete Wilson, late of Stampede Wrestling and Prairie Wrestling Alliance, actually got a start in Matt Rats. Along, you know, with guys like Teddy Hart and Keishi Matsunaga and those guys. So, and he's been in the business for well over 10 years. That first match was incredible. They turned it up a notch for the show at the Border Crossing.
That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. And I've been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to put together the results and send the results out. So, really quickly, if you want to hear what the results were really fast.
Enlighten us, because that crowd at Border Crossing was more into that show than everyone was into tonight's TNA Final Resolution show, because they were sitting on their hands all night long.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, he's right, Alan. The 126 plus people, not including standing room attendees, at the Border Crossing, because, you know, it's a very small venue. If it was a bigger bar, we could have fit more people into it. But they were rowdy and loud and absolutely into it all night long. Pistol Pete Wilson and Mike Briggs kicked it up a notch. The first match on the card for the night. Pistol Pete Wilson losing for the second time in a row to Mike Briggs, amazingly enough, after Mikey Briggs delivered the super kick. Absolutely incredible, amazing near falls by both the, you know, by each of the wrestlers. It was absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, we had Barricade taking on Ironside. Ironside getting the victory. Ironside, Alan, is a masked wrestler.
And then Barricade's the guy who was here last week in the god-awful outfit, if everybody listened last week.
Yeah, he was in that god-awful outfit that nobody could tell because he was on radio, Alan.
Oh, if you Googled him by name in your promotion, you saw what it looked like, and it wasn't pretty at all.
Black with yellow stripes, you know, like he's a like he's a police line do not cross fixture.
And you don't even have to Google his name. You can just go to CanadianAllPro.com and watch the match, and you can actually see his outfit, what he actually looks like in his outfit. Not just the
Did you put a chalk outline around the blockade? Whatever it was.
Barricade, not blockade. Barricade.
Him. Whatever. Yeah. He's now an ink spot on the middle of the ring.
No. And anyway, he's from Atlantic City, New Jersey. Looking for a cheap pot from Jersey Girl there.
Give it about 7 seconds.
So... Oh, also, guess who came out of retirement, Alan, at the show?
And there's your pop, Tim.
Go ahead.
The great Dom.
Wow.
From the original Karachi Vice, the great Gama has come out of retirement. He's not wrestling. He is actually looking to reform the Karachi Vice in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. So he was there actually scouting the wrestlers.
Interesting.
Yeah. And we had a match between Steven Styles and Keishi Matsunaga. This was interesting, this match. The commissioner, Vinny Fever, got involved in this one because Steven Styles was all yappy, yappy, yappy. He's from Edmonton, immediately drew instant heat just from that. But anyway, he comes out and the crowd's just booing him. He's giving it to the crowd. And he's putting them all down and stuff like that, and he's whining and crying and yapping about not wanting to wrestle and stuff like that. And finally, Vinny Fever, the commissioner, gets on the mic and says, Styles, quit whining and start fighting, you little bitch.
This is the guy who wants to smack you around, right, Styles? He was here last week.
Well, no, he's the guy that's going to pay the price when Spud comes up and wrestles here.
Ah.
Yeah.
And he does want to slap Tim around, too.
Yeah, but I told him if he did that...
He shut up about it last week.
I told him if he laid a finger on me, he would be suspended and fined. I can do that.
You can do that, really?
Well, being the general manager, the CEO and president of Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
Right, you're not the general manager.
He's got power.
I've got the power. I got the power. Anyway.
Don't. Anyway, continue to.
Anyway, I had to do that, sorry. got into a heated debate with Vinny Fever. He finally, the bell rings, and he's going to town on Keishi Matsunaga. But Keishi's holding his own and dishing out almost as good as he's taking it until the ref got knocked out, and Styles reached under the ring and basically laid out Keishi Matsunaga. With pizza pans and cookie tins and stuff. And I don't know what else, but it was a whole bunch of stuff. And he just laid him out and he grabbed a chair, started smacking him with the chair. And Vinny Fever got in there to try to break it up. Styles delivered a clothesline to the general manager, the commissioner, Vinny Fever, who, by the way, can't wrestle anymore because he had his back broken by Kurgan. Like, 5 years ago. And so he's lying on the floor. He's flexing his hand because the clothesline, it really buggered him up and numbed him right up, right? He's got pins and needles and everything.
Right.
So, but, hey, you know, good for his word and good on him for being able to man up. Vinny Fever got up, and he just leveled Steven Styles with a clothesline that was so tremendous. It knocks Styles right out of the ring.
Nice. Very, very nice.
Absolutely. It just boom. And then, after having the world's quickest chat with me that you can't really see on the video,
of course not.
Vinny Fever has called for a rematch January the 12th at the Border Crossing Bar between Steven Styles and Keishi Matsunaga.
Oh, I know where this is going.
This match will be a Fans Bring the Weapons match.
What?
Ooh. Ooh, yeah.
I like that. I like the sounds of that.
Yeah, so. That'll be interesting.
Sounds like someone's going to get beat down on the 12th.
Somebody's going to get fudged up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so what else happened on the card? Oh, the main event was a 3-on-2 handicap match. That wasn't a handicap match, if that makes any sense to you. Here's what happened. Of course, with all the beatdowns and everything, we got guys coming out of the back making the save or helping with the beatdowns and stuff like that. And, you know, enough is enough. So Keishi Matsunaga and Mike Briggs get together and say, we want a match against these three guys. And it's like, what, it's a handicap match? You want 3-on-2? And they're like, yeah. And so it turned out to be Team Steve Rivers, consisting of Steve Rivers, Barricade, and Pete Wilson.
Right.
Against Mike Briggs and Keishi Matsunaga. Well, Keishi and Mike come out, and they say, you know what? We talked to the commissioner in the back. Turns out, we don't have to make this a handicap match. We were allowed to find a partner. We found a partner. Introducing the third member of our team, his music starts. Former TNA X Division champion, Hotshot Johnny Devine.
There you go.
So it became a 3-on-3. And Rivers was doing everything he can to avoid Devine because he doesn't want to face him. He's a chicken shit.
Right.
The all-American chicken shit, Steve Rivers.
Should get him on this show one time, Tim.
Oh, he's been on Wrestle Talk Radio, but this was before your time.
Okay, I'm talking about now. You should get him on the show.
Yes, I know. We will. We'll definitely effort that and all that other fun, funky stuff. But anyway, Rivers decides he's had enough and he ducks out and takes off and leaves his two partners high and dry. Well, Devine was pissed off enough that he chased after Steve Rivers. It became a standard four-man tag match. So we're expecting to put Rivers in the main event against Johnny Devine this Sunday, exactly 7 days from tonight, December the 18th. It's an afternoon matinee.
That's what it's all about.
Well, it's Canadian All Pro Wrestling, eh?
That's a boot.
Yeah, so there. It's a Sunday afternoon matinee. The doors open around 1 o'clock, and bell time's around 1:30. Of course, if you've ever been to an indie wrestling show, you know that nothing is ever on time. But I think our show is the closest to being as close to on time as you can get.
You're stealing my gimmick, Tim. You're stealing my gimmick,
dude. Yeah, but you stole it from other indie programs.
No, ours is totally original.
No. You stole it from indie wrestling shows. You just, like, admit it and shit.
Go with that. Anyway.
So, the same.
Oh, God. Same.
Anyway. What show is that? It's, what, Seasons Beatings next Sunday afternoon?
Next Sunday afternoon, yeah. The event will be called Seasons Beatings. And, of course, it's at the Rosskirk Community Hall, 4411 10th Avenue Southwest, right behind Westbrook Mall. For those of you in the Calgary area, I think maybe there's one or two tuned in who are from the area. Tickets in advance are only $12 a piece, $15 at the door. If you want to book your advance tickets, all you got to do is call area code 403-774-8629. That number once again, 403-774-8629. Call before midnight every night.
No, call after midnight, because that'd be funny.
You're a nutball.
But, yeah, we're good at CanadianAllPro.com, and you can send an email as well.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. So, on to, we can either talk about interesting wrestling or the pay-per-view.
Let's get through the pay-per-view, Tim.
All right, so the first match of the night, Alan, RVD versus Christopher Daniels. RVD wins. What do you think?
Bob won, man.
Bobby Van Dam won.
Omega was so pissed off. He's typing away.
He's so pissed off that he fucked off. He didn't want to talk about Bob Van Dam.
This is former world heavyweight champion is opening the show. Hey, it happens to everybody. I'd like to see at least one more out of these guys. I don't know if they're going to do something going into Genesis, but I like the in-ring chemistry that these two have.
And you know, Alan, that Daniels is going to find a way to say he won.
Of course.
He'll always come up with some reason that he won that matchup. But it was a solid opener.
Yeah, he'll channel Chris Jericho's spirit and say, oh, well, I should have won this way or that way. And it's interesting because he's totally changed his look. He got so used to those biker shorts that he was wearing, and now he's in the full-length pants, and it looks like a totally different person. And I was very worried the pay-per-view before this when I figured, okay, RVD, very choreographed and a lot of stuff. I noticed that when I went back to watch a lot of his previous ECW stuff early on when Jerry Lynn and that kind of thing, and I went, God, this guy's too, you know, it's coming, but with Daniels it just works. So I said I hope to see more of it. Knowing TNA, this is probably the blow off tonight.
If it's the blow off, where would you put both guys? Because that's the hard thing with TNA. There's nowhere for anyone to go.
Well,
see, I don't want to see a blow off match. I want to see a blowed up match. I want to see him get blowed up real good. That's something Alan would
probably.
I could
still see Daniels do some. Oh God, he's referencing. He's doing inside wrestling lines, ladies and gentlemen.
Who is?
I don't know. I would love to see Daniels and Kazarian because the whole thing with Fortune was kind of left hanging there. Because you had the stuff with AJ, and now AJ, of course, we'll talk about later on in this segment, but I remarked at one point during the show, I said, okay, Mr. Anderson, not here. Kazarian, not here. And you've got two really excellent performers in the ring that sitting backstage enjoying the popcorn. Kaz is sitting with Mrs. Kaz going, hey, this is great. We're getting paid to do nothing. I wouldn't mind seeing Kaz and Daniels. They're going to tape like a month worth of TV over the next 3 days in Orlando. RVD, I don't know where you go with him just because he's where Pope D'Angelo De Niro was after the lockdown of last year. It was like, all right, cool. Here he is against AJ for the world title, and then down he went. And we'll talk about him in a couple minutes. So I don't know creatively what you do with RVD, guys.
I'll tell you exactly what you do with RVD. Anything you pretty much feel like it, he'll go along with, as long as there's a hydroponics lab right around the corner.
Yeah. And you're wrestling a guy who was someone that was in some way affiliated with the 90s in wrestling, since Daniels was in WCW for a cup of coffee and unfortunately got dumped in his head on national television.
Don't you just love how we totally avoided and completely ignored my hydroponics garden and inference concerning Rob Van Dam?
Yeah, I noticed that.
I'm straight edge, brother, straight edge.
Fuck straight edge.
I'm more straight edge than CM Punk, and he knows it.
Listen, we all take a dirt nap at the end of the road. We might as well enjoy the drive. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not.
Of course not. Why? Because I'm Tim Stein, damn it.
Yeah, move to this TV championship thing, because this was just, ugh.
Robbie E versus Eric Young, with Robbie E getting the victory, Alan.
I want a tag match of Robbie E and Robbie T versus Eric Young and that damn beard. I mean, that beard, if anybody's ever seen Grizzly Redwood of ROH fame, or even when Bryan Danielson was doing the whole scraggly-looking thing, their beards have got nothing now on EY. I don't know if he's got a small hockey franchise living in there or what the hell he's got going on.
No, he's got rare endangered birds that he's not allowed to shave his face now. So, and yeah, it really sucks when he goes to a movie because they keep poking out and eating his popcorn. Okay, Alan, come on, wake up. There's
this is another one.
Being straight edge and being tech. Come on now.
I want to see at least one more match out of these guys. Because who else are you honestly going to put with Robbie E except the guy that everybody now knows he's emulating? And he's going to possibly win the U.S. Championship next Sunday night on pay-per-view, but no, there was an obvious, the crowd was chanting for Zack Ryder during the program. At one point, there was a CM Punk chant later on in the evening.
Wait,
there's something
creatively.
Wrong. There's something wrong with your product if the fans in at your pay-per-view are chanting for the other guys' wrestlers.
But Tim, at SummerSlam, weren't they chanting D'Lo Brown, D'Lo Brown, D'Lo Brown, and he works for TNA?
Yeah. Different circumstances, I do believe.
Yeah, because actually people know who D'Lo Brown is, and everyone else doesn't know who TNA stars are.
They could go through a lineup and go, who's he?
Who's he? What?
Yeah, I just took a cheap shot at TNA, and I've been covering them for, 9 years now.
Took you long enough to take a chance.
Yeah,
I take plenty of them. But as I was saying before you move on here, I don't know where you go left with Rob Echoes, which is Robbie E's normal performing name in the Northeast. The whole gimmick is really cool. If you go listen to the archive of an interview we did on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Becky Bayless, the former Cookie, she was the one that kind of suggested the separation and even Big Rob Terry being involved with Robbie E. Maybe get the belt off of him, put it on someone else, and maybe get Robbie E and Robbie T a shot at whoever, you know, give him any tag title run or something. This is unfortunately what happened to Robbie when he got the belt the first time from Jay Lethal. You have him just wrestling Jay. He was wrestling other folks on house shows, but on Impact, on Explosion, if you're watching internationally, you never saw Robbie defend against anyone else, and if you did, it was real fast. So the creative's got to sit down and go, okay, this gimmick obviously is gone a totally different direction now with the whole velvet rope thing and whatnot. I hope they do something better than what they're doing with him, because he's a real interesting performer in the ring, and he showed it tonight with Eric. I'm sure a lot of the other audience members are going, shut up, dude. He's impersonating Zack Ryder. Well, you know, imitation is the most sincerest form of flattery, but look at the push WWE has given Zack Ryder, and look at what Robbie E's getting right now. I'm more concerned about your tag team championship with four singles wrestlers fighting over them than anything else.
Let's get into that, Alan, because what the hell is up with this whole Devon Pope thing?
I honestly expected, and I said it to you in our private Skype chat during the event, I honestly expected Devon to turn heel on Pope during this match, just with the way everything went down on Impact, where Devon, I've met a few times, he is a very strong person, and Pope obviously helped him a little bit, but when he threw Pope up against that wall and Pope almost slam dunked himself into the roof, I was like, okay, that's it, this pay-per-view, this is the blow-off. Devon's gonna go heel, leaving his kids behind, because Russo and everyone, they've gotta have soap opera drama, and I don't know where they're going with this. The brothers of... Oh, wait, I can't call them that, can I? Because it's almost what Morgan and Crimson are. They're kind of like the brothers of destruction. You know, I probably
Alan.
Just made Jackie Fice cringe.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to do that.
Alan?
Tim?
I have a question for you.
Oh, God.
Don't take this the wrong way, but how long did it take you to learn how to be able to talk without breathing?
It's the native New Yorker in me. I can't help it, boss.
It's got to be. No, I'm just curious because, wow, does he ever take a breath between sentences? Holy shit. Hey, would like to say hello to Galaxa in the chat room. That's a brand new name. I don't recognize that name. Must be a new listener. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ooh, yeah, look at that. You should be getting a shout-out. And of course, Jersey Girl, you got a bit of a shout out already. Ooh, yeah. No, I'm not doing a really bad Randy Macho Man Randy Savage imitation. I'm just talking like this because I can. Oh, yeah. Hey, Kevin K. Scott's with us, and so is Necrosanji. Hi, guys. Nice to see you again. Welcome. Welcome.
Jamal.
Yeah, Jamal's in the chat. But,
yeah, Jamal's in the chat room. Jersey Girl says, huh? Jersey Girl, I sort of inadvertently, indirectly gave you a shout-out at the top of the segment when we were talking about Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, looking for the cheap pop, because Barricade's from Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Gally, it's Cowboy Chick. Hi, Chick. How are you? Long time no see, hun. Woohoo!
There you go.
Yeehaw! Hey,
Cowboy
hey,
Chick.
Hey!
Anyway,
save a horse, ride a cowboy, Galaxy.
But Tim, you mentioned.
Where's my hat?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing about this tag team thing.
Hold on, Alan. Hold on, Alan. Tim,
what?
You referenced Alan talking long time and without a taking a breath. He reminds me of somebody.
Well, geez, you know, what I'm trying to do there is I'm just trying to imitate Alan, but only put a little personality into my voice. Ooh! Zing! Sorry, Alan.
Bada-bing.
But isn't that my gimmick?
I don't know. Is it a gimmick, or is it just
is
like, you're the physics professor in Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Anybody?
Hey, Ben Stein makes a lot of money talking like that.
Anybody?
Yeah, but
anybody?
Back to this
Spud guy. Anybody?
For a second. This tag team situation and the one in WWE, really, for someone like me who's a tag team, I love tag team wrestling, that this just irks me that they've done this countless times. They did it going all the way back to 2002. Where you had AJ Styles teaming with Jerry Lynn because, well, okay, nobody else is really established. Then you had AJ and D'Lo Brown and Grand Apollo for a little while. It's, let's take the two tag guys, put them together. You've got an established tag team and Inc. sitting there doing nothing. Mexican America was nowhere near this pay-per-view tonight.
Alan, did you just name drop Apollo?
Yeah, I went to Grand Apollo. I went back, yes.
Wow. You don't even have to make any more points after that. You name-dropped Apollo on this show.
But this is the problem. Look at WWE. We've got tag team champions, which are Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne, who haven't defended since Evan's been too busy being Sir Smoke a lot on the WWE roster. This is sad because this is a promotion at one point had Team 3D, America's Most Wanted, the Motor City Machine Guns. I know Chris Sabin is hurt. I feel for Sabin. I'd wish he'd come back. You had Beer Money. You had before that, you had America's Most Wanted and Team Canada. You had the Three Live Crew gimmick going. Now, I mean, the Young Bucks / Generation Me was here. Now it's just, I'm looking at the ashes of what was a great tag team division. You know, it's cool that you're giving Matt Morgan and Crimson some work, but I want these guys to drop the belts and put them back. You know, it seems to solve all, Tim. Okay, well, we can't find anything for them to do in the heavyweight division. Let's give them tag belts. Yeah, really cool idea.
That goes back to a point, Alan, we talked about with the first match. You have nowhere for anyone to go. That's why they're trying to keep things going with, like, Matt Morgan and Crimson to make them a team. They just have nowhere. They don't want to put people together. They don't want to separate. They want things to continue, but then once they have a story going, they have nowhere to go after that. It's
the old creative writing. They've painted themselves to a corner. They don't know how to get out of the corner now.
They have all this talent and nothing to do with it. And that's happening in WWE, too, but that's a whole other mess we'll get into later.
Exactly.
Moving on, though.
Can we talk about the second best match of the night? One of the best matches of the night?
Yeah. X Division title, Austin Aries and Kid Cash. What do you think when Austin Aries retained his title?
That was fun. That was fun. It was the, as I called it on Twitter, the I out-healed you, dude, match, because I even said it the other day to someone. I said, this is the one match on the show besides Storm and Angle and then the Iron Man that I was going, this is going to be fun. I really have liked Austin Aries' second run in TNA wrestling. and the reemergence of Kid Cash after he buried the living crap out of TNA a few years ago in interviews. And the A-Double has ruined this division. I'm loving every second of it. But as I said, this was the let's see who can out-heal each other. The double brass knuckle spot was hysterical. That was old school Memphis, and that was great. And I'd love to see another match out of this. You could even bring back in the Sorensen kid. Or anyone else that you can mix in here. You could have a Gauntlet for the Gold type thing to set up for Genesis. As I said, they're going to be taping there's three tapings over the next 3 days, so I don't know how much tape of TV they're going to fill here, but you've got till January 8th to get somebody for A-Double to compete against again. You know, you never know if a Jomo or Mojo, whatever the hell he's called on Twitter, may show up.
Jojo or maybe Momo, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Or
Mel Mel,
or who knows? Oh. I don't know. But I love the cape references. It's like, he has to wear a cape. He's got the cape going, and now it's fun. And I enjoyed it. And they keep praising this whole thing of, well, now we have a weight limit in the X division. And it's like, yo, dumbasses, you're the one today that coined the phrase, it's not about weight limits, it's about no limits. And it sucks that you've stuck the company with that label, but once again, painted yourself into a corner to get out of having Abyss as the X division champion.
Yeah, but Austin Aries is going to carry that division. But let's move on to the Knockouts title, Gail Kim and Mickey James.
Oh, do we have to?
We got to get through it. Gail Kim and Mickey James, quick 30-second thoughts on the match.
Oh, this... we'll find out later on, obviously, the fate of Karen Angle, Karen Jarrett, as I have eloquently called her on Facebook and other avenues, the Wicked Witch of the Mid-South. And you know, this is just, again, you took your division and you're basically telling every girl in your division, none of you matter because both of these girls work for WWE and have fun. And the best was Mickie James's promo about, oh, this is a company where the women matter. So last couple weeks where you're all running around in bikinis backstage, that's showcasing the wrestling talent, right, guys?
They did seem to mention tonight the whole wrestling matters gimmick again.
Yeah, and there's some people that are on Twitter, like I think his name is Shane Mead, that's like, oh, you're so negative, you're so negative. I'm positive in that there's a roster here that kicks ass. You've got Tracy Brooks, who's in this horrible role right now, but had a great match with Gail Kim this past Thursday. You've got Winter, you've got Angelina Love and Velvet Sky and Madison Rayne and Tara and Brooke, whatever she's called, Tessmacher, who went from knowing nothing to having decent matches on TV. But once again, your division is just sitting there going, okay, Mickey, Gail, cool, WWE rules, congrats. But they were hitting hard in that match. That was, some of that stuff was stiff. And I'm just looking, going, yeah, the bar. Natty and Bethry are sitting there going, ow.
This is where I say, hi, Omega.
Hi.
Hey, he's here.
Now, Omega, say hi to Cowboy Chick.
Hi, Cowboy Chick.
And we just worked the magic like that. Gail Kim retained her title with Madison Rayne interfering, and then we move on to a really, really good match, James Storm and Kurt Angle.
Oh yeah, I had this one circled a couple weeks ago when they announced the ID on TV that James was even medically cleared to do this, because the people are going, oh, it's a storyline. No, he really had a concussion. And it wasn't from drinking one too many beers, which James can definitely do. And it's just weird, because wasn't it on this show or even on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio that we were like, see you later, Kurt Angle. We'll see you in a few months. You're gonna go get ready for the Olympic trials, and that's why he dropped the championship. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that all went out the window.
Let me ask you, Omega, did you see any of this?
No.
Okay. Continue on.
All right. He gets, I get
just to get the official confirmation in there.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is endorsed by TJ Lang. I absolutely love
this match. I have far
more
important things to do. I had some paint to dry, some grass to grow, you know. I am sorry.
I want to see another. That's cool, dude. That's cool.
TNA, I will admit, TNA's got good talent, but I am so sick of watching their shows.
You guys were playing World of Warcraft and
Hell
Sega
no.
and Nintendo and all this other crap.
Don't ever say Omega plays World of Warcraft. He will kill you.
No, no one meant me that way.
Oh, there's the other voice of reason.
No one was playing World of Warcraft, sir. Sushi, okay. Kamikaze, Fujiyama, Nippon, Ichi.
God bless you.
Nice.
Yeah, they're here. They didn't watch any of the shows, so now they're here to make fun of me for watching the show.
I, sir, was battling Von Kaiser and Bad Bull and King Hippo.
Okay, we'll get into that in a bit. So what do you think overall, Alan, of this match? Great? Good?
Loved it. I loved it. I want to see at least one more match. There was some real good psychology going on here with working the whole head angle injury with Storm. And it was funny. Jersey Girl actually asked me during the show, when's Angle going to disappear again to go get ready for the Olympic trials? And I said, I don't even know when the heck all that stuff's going down, kiddo. We could probably ask Sir Akana to look it up, but at some point,
April.
You've got to exit Kurt Angle again.
He's trying out in April. As I want to transition, Spug, we had this little chat during the pay-per-view, how they would set up the final two matches, and you said the finish with the cage match.
And they didn't.
Only logical sense would make sense to do finish with the cage. Right?
Right.
Would like to, you know, tell everyone why you would finish with the cage match.
Hold on, I'm fighting Soda Popinski.
Trying to get you into this show, you know, you understand that?
I don't give a fuck about the TNA pay-per-view, and that's legitimate.
I'm giving you, forget it. Cage match, Jeff Hardy versus Jeff Jarrett Allen. If Hardy wins,
oh God.
Hardy gets the title shot in. Either Karen or Jeff get fired, or if Jarrett wins, Hardy is fired, and we all know Jeff Hardy won.
So now they're going to put the belt back on
Shocking,
Jeff.
Shocking, isn't
awesome.
It? Awesome. Oh, hold on, because he's still going to get past somebody else who survived 30 minutes of hell.
Yeah, but the cage match, Alan, what do you think?
I kept sitting there going, okay, this is gonna turn old school Memphis, she's gonna throw powder in Sting's face, Missy Hyatt style, or something along those lines. I've said it before, I'll say it again, I didn't give a crap about this feud in 2004 when Jeff Hardy was in shape, and Jeff Jarrett's character may have been relevant. There's been stories going around that Jeff is going to be the one that's going to be fired because the TNA India project is supposed to be taking off soon. I know people like Jersey Girl and others that listen to the show on Tuesday nights are saying, please let it be the Wicked Witch of the Mid-South getting the boot. I don't know what they're going to do with her if they get... I mean, obviously, if Jeff leaves, Karen's got to exit the show, too. What the hell do you do with Karen Jarrett other than have her annoy the crap out of us more with the X Division and continue Twitter battles with Vicky Guerrero?
The X Division? I thought she was the Knockouts
Division. Knockouts Division. Whatever. That tells you how crazy the show is. It can't even keep track of where the hell she's running things. Hardy winning this, and I guess now he gets the shot at the world title at Genesis.
Yeah.
No, you're failing, once again, failing upward.
Pretty much. And then we have our main event, the Iron Man World Heavyweight Title Match, Brood and AJ Styles. What'd you think, Alan Wojcik?
Loved it. Hated the ending, but loved it. Great psychology from beginning to end with Rude actually going back to the way Impact ended last Thursday with the knee issue, worked the knee, worked everything. He did the thing with the arm. I remarked during the private chat when AJ was going for the arm and today's going like, he's trying to pop that thing out. I'm going, somebody watch Frank Mir last night? But the way, I've never been a fan of Iron Man matches ending that way. Even the one that Bret and Shawn had in 96, I get what they were trying to do. And there must be a winner. But I was sitting there typing away going, okay, here comes Dixie, here comes Sting, here comes Kid Bischoff, anybody, get out here. And what, this is how you're ending the pay-per-view? If this was the way this was set from the beginning, I agree with Spug's idea, the cage match ends the pay-per-view. Because now you go out on a happy ending of the crowd going, yes, ding dong, the Jeff Jarrett witch is dead, as opposed to everybody standing there going, Styles got jobbed, and that's not cool.
So that was the main event. Bobby Roode retained on the 3-3 draw of the world title match. Give it a letter grade, Alan.
I'm going to give it a B-. There was some really good stuff on this show. Said the main event, except for the end, was solid. James Storm, Kurt Angle was really good. Austin Aries, Kid Cash was really good. Bob Van Dam and Christopher Daniels. I'm sorry. I just keep thinking of What About Bob? There's your movie reference number one when I hear Bob Van Dam. But if you get a chance, get a replay copy and check it out just for those matches. And as I said, you've got Genesis is January 8th, live on pay-per-view from Orlando, because they're not going anywhere else right now.
They need to. They need to get out of Orlando really, really quick.
Yep, that audience was super flat, and it's funny, because I've said countless times here, and I'm boring the crap out of people, but from 04 to 07, this, instead of sitting with you guys here tonight, that's where I would have been. I would have been in the impact zone, and that crowd that I sat with from 04 to 07... they weren't as dead as this. In certain aspects they were, but this place was so dead that I'm raising the volume on my headset going, okay, where the hell is the damn crowd noise? And it's not that big a building. That's the funny part. It's not like I've heard on the History of WrestleMania DVD, Cena, Triple H, and others had said that being in those cavernous 60, 70, 80,000 seat buildings, it takes a while for the audience noise to get to there. The impact zone is a literal soundstage. It's not like you're in an aircraft carrier hangar. But the thing is, you've got to get your money straight and get your stuff together. The couple shows they've done on the road recently when they went to Georgia and they went to Knoxville and I think they did one in the Carolinas too. The stage set looked really good. But I don't know if that's going to solve, you know, you can't really solve much of it. And what is he doing over there? He sounds like he's killing himself.
He's taking rabbit punches.
No! Fuck you, Piston Honda! Fuck you!
We're gonna go to break at this point. But Tuesday night, Alan, what are we doing? Four guests? Am I correct?
Oh my god. Alright, let me make sure I get the order right. 9 o'clock. The last of the guests from NWA Ring Warriors are stopping by. The team that will face Dark City Fight Club for the NWA World Tag Team titles, Billy Gunn and Sean Waltman, will be with us at 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock, it's a mystery what she's going to be doing at this show. She's been very cryptic online. WWE Hall of Famer Tammy Sitch, also known as Sunny, will be here. And I'm going to go Don West on you right now. If that wasn't enough, thanks to our friends at Ring of Honor, I have procured a worldwide exclusive. For months, his name has been taboo on ROH television and on pay-per-views. But on December 23rd, he steps back in the ring with Steve Corino. Kevin Steen will be with us at 9:30. So tune in. You will not want to miss all that fun. And who knew? The dude's a zoo enthusiast. He wants to, his Twitter thing is kill Steen, kill, but he loves zoos. That's heartwarming.
That's good stuff right there. Anyway, we're back.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, Spug and Omega and then Tim will talk more. You going a lot? Bye, Alan.
No, I'll stick around for another segment or two.
All right, WTR, Sunday night. We'll be back right after this.
And said the boys adore him. He's Goldust, totally. He walks among the living, though he really is quite dead. And here's two words his manager, Paul Bearers, never said. I'm a fool. When darkness falls and lightning flashes, oh, it's a total scare. Better bring a fresh change of underwear. It's a nightmare when the purple hand of death reaches for your hair. The warrior is back. Tell me, will you blow your stack? Hey, warrior! Hey, warrior! I'm like your biggest fan, but how much did it cost McMahon? Hey, warrior!
Wait a minute.
Hey, warrior!
Yeah.
Oh, Sonny, my dear.
Uh-oh.
Skip and Zip are here.
Wow.
We
Holy
can
Delina.
Plainly see those are double D.
Sonny
and her beast. Big Daddy don't need no friendship.
Uh-oh.
He don't need no one at all. And if you want Diesel to respect you, well, buy a black glove at the mall. Yokozuna, Yokozuna. Federation's big kahuna, never missed a dinner. He's the Nathan's hot dog eating winner. Here's the story of a man named Bret Hart. He's the only man enough to wear pink. He's been in something like 5 million matches. I got that from the face. Okay. Ahmed Johnson, Jake the Snake, Horowitz, you take the cake. Hunter Hearst Helmsley and Savio, you shake and bake. Backlund crawling on his knees, Duke is popping out the sleeves. Jerry Lawler, he just came down with mad cow disease.
What?
Yeah, mad cow.
Well, this is a tale about Cam Cornette, the polyester king, with Owen Vayner and the dog. It's a not so nice a thing. They screamed, they yelled in Los Angeles. I heard them from a bar. Cause Cornette would only rent a mid-sized rent-a-car.
Oh.
We love the superstars. WWF superstars. So come on, let's start the show and fire up the burner. Screw you, Ted Turner. It's time to start the show. The Slammy Show.
All right. Hot button gal. Yeah.
next spot.
You think you can tell us what to do?
Yeah.
You think you can tell us what to win?
Yeah.
You think you better?
Hey, everybody, this is X Spot.
Ready to bow to the master.
So you can win if you're something, fool. I just got tired of doing what you told me to do. But that's a break.
And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I've got two words for you.
Suck it. Two tears in the bucket.
Suck it.
I'm not the one that tried your luck with. Hit hard like brass knuckles. See your face through the turnbuckle, dude. I got no luck for you. Who's gonna kick you?
Reach out and touch me.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night's Wrestle Talk Radio. It's the best there is, and I know because so am I. I'm Austin Aries.
WTR Sunday Night, or as we like to call it on Tuesdays, KWR Radio, with your host, Alan Wojcik.
We never called KWR Radio.
Oh, there you go.
Listen to the product, Tim. You might know what the actual name of the show is.
What's that?
Listen to the product. You may actually know what the name of the show is.
Oh, fuck. I never listen to this website.
I know. You're too busy. You're too much of a big deal now.
I'm too busy making Canadian All-Pro Wrestling the next big thing.
Yes! Yes!
See? TKO! Even Spud's excited!
TKO! Champion! Champion! Champion!
You know what? You won just in time. That could have been planned. Better.
Could have. But anyway. This is
anyway. So, okay. Taking a look at the TNA pay-per-view. We're done. Time to move on.
We've done the TNA pay-per-view.
You missed
over.
The joke, you dumbass.
I know. No. Just continue.
Just Jesus Christ. That's all I can say. God damn it. So what were you guys talking about right before break? What was the last thing?
We ended our recap of... we ended Alan Wojcik's recap of TNA Final Resolution.
Yeah. You see what happens when Mace isn't here, Alan? You're a resident TNA bitch.
I knew the moment they said, so you're going to stick around for the opening segment or two, right? I'm going, oh, crap.
Because the rest of us are like, we're talking on the Skype there without you. Says, you know what? Let's fuck off one L and see how he does. And we did. And you did.
And for those who didn't know what we were playing during the break, that was a Slammy song from 1996.
Ugh. Somebody get Omega something to drink. He needs it right now.
I can feel my IQ going down.
Oh, it's just like being on Otaku Talk Live again. Hey, Omega?
Oh, God.
Tim, there was Punch-Out, and then there was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Tyson's Punch-Out.
It's the same game.
Well, yeah. It's exact same game. Tyson's Punch-Out came out when Mike Tyson was really big and popular after the original one. All they did was they painted the guy black and put hair on the top of his head.
Actually, it was the other way around. Mike Tyson was the original version, then they had to change it to Mr. Dream when the license ran up.
That is not correct, Omega, because I was playing Punch-Out before Mike Tyson was a boxer. And
playing?
It's the same freaking game.
Whoa.
Oh, I know it's the same
the
freaking
geek,
game.
Man, watch it.
And it was just called Punch-Out.
Now, are you sure you weren't playing the arcade version? Because that would explain it. Except
well, the
that
arcade
was...
version came before the Nintendo version.
Yes, it did, but it's not the
and
one
it's
you
the,
remember.
It's, the Nintendo version is the arcade version at home.
Simplified, but technically correct.
Simplified, but technically correct. In other words, Tim wasn't wrong. Or as Spug said once, and I have it on tape, Tim was right.
Everyone's right once in a blue moon.
Well, even a broken clock's right twice.
God damn it, Tim!
What?
Listen to you bicker at Omega. I almost got knocked out by Don Flamenco.
Well, what you get for listening. How you doing against that glass jaw guy?
I already beat him. He's the first fight.
Well, you'd better have beaten him. I mean, he's got a glass fucking jaw.
Just stick to beating up the ethnic stereotypes, Bug.
Oh, our apologies to all the ethnics listening.
No, that's literally what the game is.
I know, man. Get the fuck out of the ethnics.
Soda Popinski. B.S. Vodka Drunkinski was the original name. Guess what? He's Russian. Could you figure it out?
Polish.
Well, fuck, Slavic, okay? Just, like, be a little more general in your dissing of the different cultures and shit. Why don't we take a look at WWE's TLC pay-per-view?
Nobody gives a fuck. Move on.
Intercontinental Championship match between Cody Rhodes and Booker T. Allen. They're actually defending the Intercontinental title on a pay-per-view.
What
son of a bitch!
Allen's
I'm sorry, this show's fun when he's not paying attention to playing video games, man. Yeah, the show just gets more fun when he does it because it's random. It's motherfucker! Like, where the hell did that come from?
No!
Exactly.
I think Spunk failed.
Come on, Matt, get up! Get up!
Okay, Alan.
Epic fail.
Give us your prediction on this one.
Cody Rhodes has to win this match. If Booker T wins,
stupid.
This is, I don't know why you got to put the damn belt on the line. Just let have him wrestle Cody. Don't need a belt here, man. But yeah. I'm going with Cody.
But doesn't it add value to the belt if it's on the line against someone of the caliber of Booker T?
Who hasn't wrestled actively in how long?
But that doesn't matter. He's
but
still
that's the storyline that they're going with Cody Rhodes. Is Cody's going, yeah, but Cody's going with this whole thing of, oh man, all you've been doing is sitting there behind the mic. Instead of being in the main event mafia and working on your accents for your acting career that never happened, I'm interested just to see what Booker can do other than what he did at the Royal Rumble. If he can have a go with Cody and give a good 8-10 minute match, great. I hope Cody still goes over. I really like Cody Rhodes as your Intercontinental champ. He's really coming to his own.
Omega, can you...
Why?
Can you answer the question in 50 words or less? Because apparently Alan can't.
Ah, bite me, Grandpa.
Ooh. Hey!
Look at that. Alan throwing the old joke out there.
Whoa. They're
finally putting the IC belt on the pay-per-view against someone who is not going to win it in the slightest.
Swerve, he wins.
Why?
Should we even bother asking Spugger? Is he too busy getting the shit kicked out of himself?
Shit!
he's gonna ignore the questions on Tuesday too, so.
You can't beat a guy named Flamingo!
It's Flamenco, and have you ever seen him punch, sir? His cowlick is legendary.
But Omega should give him prediction for the match.
Cody Rhodes, there's no fucking way Booker T's winning it.
I want Booker.
I predict Don Flamenco in the third round.
Yeah, especially if he's fighting you. There you go.
Shut up, Tim.
No, I don't think I'm going to. Just say Cody Rhodes and we'll move on.
Booker T.
There you go. I was waiting for that. Match! What?
It makes no sense to have this match on the card to begin with. Because you're going to feud with somebody who hasn't wrestled in a couple of years when there are individuals on the card who are in your company who deserve to be on that card. Cody Rhodes is going to win, but it's fucking stupid.
Well, yeah, Cody Rhodes is going to win. I want to see Booker T win just to fuck things up, but it won't happen. Tables match, Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett, Spug.
Wade Barrett. I like Wade Barrett a lot.
There you go. All right, Omega.
Orton.
Oh, Alan.
Home Depot, because they're going to bust. They're going to try to bust a lot of tables in this one.
Home Depot.
Yeah, I went for the cheap joke and I bombed royally. Let me wallow in my doom.
Yes.
Jesus. This one's tough. Because we brought it up on KFAP Wrestling Radio the other night when we were talking with Jim Barcelona about who the heck do you, if you bring Taker back for Mania, who do you put with him? And I've been saying Wade Barrett is my choice because of the way they've been pushing this whole Barrett barrage thing. If he goes over on Randy Orton, he's definitely got to be the man to take on Taker. Can Orton survive a loss here to go into the Rumble? I don't know.
Well, that leads to a question that I have for Spud.
Alan, I want you to say it with me. Barrett. Barrett. Not Borat.
Barrett.
Not Borat. Barrett. It's
Barrett.
Borat.
Barrett.
No. You don't elongate the A, you fucking uncultured swine. Barrett. It's Wade like Borat. It's like the sniper rifle company. Barrett.
Wade Borat.
Oh my god.
Like it's fun antagonism. Anyway, Spud, question for you. Wade Barrett. Barrett getting the win over Randy Orton. Randy Orton. Is this a way for WWE to have Randy Orton give Wade Barrett a rub? Is that a necessary thing, and would it be a legitimate rub coming from Randy Orton if Randy Orton loses to Wade Barrett?
Wait, say that one more time.
I don't think I can.
make it simple. Will Barrett get the rub from Orton?
I don't think he needs it.
But in WWE's eyes, could it be considered such?
I mean, you could, but I don't think he needs it.
Yeah, okay. Alan, I just want you to answer a follow-up question. Is Randy Orton in a position right now to actually give the rub to, up and coming?
Ew.
Omega, get your mind out of the gutter. It's a wrestling term.
Wow.
People are talking about positions and rubbing.
Yeah, but he's not playing with Ken and Barbie or Shia LaBeouf, man. Relax. I think anyone who gets in the ring with Orton is going to come out better from it. I'm not sure, I kind of agree with what Spug's saying. I don't think Barrett needs it just from who Barrett's been in the ring with in the last couple of years, especially his run with John Cena. I think he's already up there for the semi-main status. If he goes over on Orton, then Barrett is definitely getting a bigger push than anyone ever anticipated when you first came out with the Nexus gimmick 2 years ago.
There you go. Okay, Omega, do you have anything to say about this? Aside from your disgusting mental processes?
My mental processes are none of your business.
Well, geez, you know, things are going fine until you brought up the sexual innuendo.
I wasn't the one who brought it up.
Yeah, it wasn't being thought of until you mentioned it, and then everybody's thinking, oh, it's a sexual thing. Oh, he's calling them fags.
No one went there, Tim.
Anyway, Omega, you got any words about this or we're not?
I think it's very rude of you to mention homosexuals in such a negative manner, but aside from that...
Hey, if you're gay, Omega, there's nothing wrong with that.
Not only am I going to punch Squig in the face...
Hey, he's not Michael Cole, he can get away with it.
I am so, for years of frustration, just going to kick you right in the fucking dick, Tim.
Anyway, Omega.
Okay.
Anyway, Omega, go ahead.
No, honestly, Barrett needs a push from Orton, but I honestly don't think he's gonna get it.
Alrighty then. Next match is the US title match. The US title on the line, Dolph Ziggler versus Zack Ryder.
Good one, Tim.
Yes.
He said it how it's spelled.
Yeah, I said how it was spelled. It's phonetics, man.
Alan.
Canadian English is screwed up, man.
If Dolph Ziggler wins, we riot.
Okay, Rapunzel.
I will, Kevin and Scott and I will lead the charge from, I will fly to Long Island and we will lead the charge to Stamford and go, you dumbasses, put the U.S. title on the sky for God's sake already.
What do you think, Spug?
Spug said it on Tuesday night. Repeat it again, please. Well, let him repeat. He made a great point Tuesday night that I think your Sunday audience should hear about Ziggler and Ryder.
I made it like 2 weeks ago. You're gonna, in wrestling, they call it the shine spot. When a baby face kind of comes back on the heel and it looks like he's gonna win and he's getting his shine with the crowd. There comes a point in that spot, however, where you can bring the crowd up so high and miss it. And miss where you want to throw your cutoff in, where you want to throw your shine in, where you want to make sure the crowd ebbs and flows. And the unfortunate thing is that the way WWE is booking this is that they're going to end up missing that moment and ruin it. And I said it 2 weeks ago on this show, Alan. So there.
Yeah, Omega.
Yeah, at this point, it would be idiotic to not put the belts on Ryder. I mean, aside from just the fact that, you know, he's over as hell with the crowd right now, and he's selling a ton of fake orange sunglasses, just aside from that, Ziggler needs...
I bought a pair.
Oh, boy.
Along with the headbands.
Oh,
good God.
You're such a mark.
For that? Hell yeah. When Ziggler's walking around in a Broski t-shirt, yeah, I'm going to mark out.
Aside from Ryder needing the U.S. belt at this point and actually solidifying this enormous push he's suddenly getting, Ziggler needs to move on to bigger and better things. It's time he steps up.
It makes absolutely no sense for him not to give the rub to.
Yes, because he's in
Ryder.
The position to get rubbed.
Yeah, he's smart ass. You see, I knew that was going to happen.
Position of rubbing. Wait, what?
All right, and it's a dry rub. Never mind. Omega, you made a great point. It's time for Dolph to move on to bigger, better. I mean, I think he's ready for the next level.
A little bit of spit, it becomes a wet rub.
God.
And you know, this is pain compared to last night.
Either way, Ryder's going to knock one out.
Oh, yes. There we go. Yeah, last night, Sin guest hosted CB Radio.
And there was a lot of more innuendo.
Talk about penises and vaginas and clitorises and orgasms.
We talked about people cutting penises off.
What sewer did she crawl out of?
Moving on.
The one in Brandon, Manitoba. Anyway, up next, the sledgehammer ladder match. Triple H versus Kevin Nash. First one up the ladder gets the sledgehammer and can use it.
Oh, God.
Kevin Nash in a ladder match.
First one that doesn't blow.
All I know is no matter who wins, both of their HMOs lose.
Omega, what do you think?
Which match was this again?
The sledgehammer on a ladder thing.
Oh.
That one. Nash and Hunter.
You mean who's going to blow a quad first?
Yes.
Well, exactly. Technically, it's Nash's turn because he only blew one quad. Hunter's had both blown.
Yeah, but Hunter did it during actual, like, wrestling competition, like doing an actual move or something. Nash did it tripping over Booker T.
Yeah, true. So maybe he trips over the ladder.
just wondering if there will be any rubbing while there's blowing going on.
Rubbing and
who's,
blowing. Oh my
who's going to give who the rub while there's quad blowing?
See, Cindy Sin is a carrier. Okay, she may not be here, but boy, I'll tell you, she brings the infection with her because, you know, the next night, everybody's infected with it.
Which is the infection with
Cindy Sin is infected.
Wow.
Which infection would that be, Tim?
Everyone needs to bring something to this conversation, and what you should now bring is silence.
Ooh. 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 You're funny. You wait until later on when we got a reaction question for you, Omega. You're going to love that one.
You're prettier when you don't talk, Tim.
Oh, shut your pie hole and answer the question. Kevin Nash or your man crush?
Like I said, no matter who wins, their HMOs lose.
There you go. Alan.
Oh, God, you're really going to make me pick a winner in this thing?
Oh, come on. There is going to be no winner. Just pick all the losers.
I picked the ladder to hopefully survive that Nash trying to climb the damn thing. This is going to be like watching Big Show climb a ladder, man.
There you go. Well, so, hey,
what's going on, gentlemen?
Yeah, we're going to interrupt here. We got a telephone call. Hey, who's this and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I was just at the tribute to the Troop Show. I am a member of the EWA, go by the name of the Phantom.
Hello, Phantom.
How you doing, Phantom?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. Hey, it was a hell of a good show tonight. I was so impressed. Like, you know, WWE loves their troops, and they sure brought it tonight. Like ringside seats. I was like, I could feel the heat off the pyros tonight, man. It was awesome.
Whereabouts were you sitting?
I was sitting like on the floor, like toward the back. I wasn't near the aisle part. But let's just say I felt the heat off the pyros. When Air Boom came out, when Nickelback performed, every time there was a pyro, it was like right in my face. I could see the whole damn thing. It was like, it was incredible. I had a blast.
Awesome.
Nickelfag performed?
Come again?
He's not a Nickelback fan.
Hey. Like I said, hey. Nickelback did perform. He may not be a Nickelback fan, but hey, you know, they did a good job for, you know, being Nickelback and the fact that
they had a 75,000 signature petition to get them to not play at Thanksgiving. Nobody in the United States likes them anymore. Go back to Canada.
hey, if it's any consolation, Mary J. Blige did perform that night and she fucking rock. Like, let's just say I had a newfound respect for Mary J. Blige and the fact that she had a live band out there. Like, she did her hits and stuff like that. She really brought it. I was very impressed with Mary J. Blige. But I had a chance, like, you know, pretty much, you know, the matches were great. You know, you had a dark match starting out. It was Santino and Jinder Mahal, you know. Yeah, it was kind of funny. We were all chanting USA while Italian was wrestling an Indian star, but, you know, it's a WWE.
Well, let's see, even further than that, the Italian's actually a Canadian from Quebec.
That's pretty funny, too. But either way, man, like, you know, being a soldier myself, you know, it was really cool, you know, chanting the whole good old USA at a WWE event wearing the uniform, so it was... It was pretty significant to me. It was probably one of the single proudest moments I ever have had since enlisting in the U.S. Army. So, like, I was, like, it was.
Oh, that's absolutely awesome, Phantom. Even though I am a Canadian and not an American, I have to salute you.
Canada and the United
States are, basically, you know, we're siblings, brothers, as it were. And I've got nothing but the ultimate respect for troops from both countries. Shut up, Spud.
Well, Sakura, I'll let you know this. Christian did come out and give his props to the what he thought was the greatest fighting force in the world, the Canadian Army. promptly and thankfully interrupted by Sheamus because I've kind of grown tired of of Christian's banter myself, it's become a major headache to me.
So who performed? You don't have to tell us who won, lost, because, you know, spoilers and all that.
Okay,
but who,
of course, Santino and Jinder Mahal was the dog match. They won. Opening match, Randy Orton, Wade Barrett. Orton was on top. They both put on a really good show.
Said no spoilers. No spoilers.
Just tell us who performed.
Who performed.
Oh. Okay, you got Orton and Barrett in the first match. You had some nice Divas competition, of course. Thank God it wasn't no Santa's Little Helper bullshit or whatever. It was actually a clean, good match, because I love when Beth Phoenix and Natalya perform. I know they're trying to come off as the Diva heels, but they really appeal to me. I had a chance to see my number one broski, Zack Ryder. I don't know how you guys feel about him, but let's just say this. I liked him on Facebook. Check. Followed him on Twitter. Check. Now tonight I have the t-shirt and headband. And unfortunately, military regulations do not permit me to grow my hair long enough to spike it. I know.
That is so not.
Yeah, cool. Hey. I have the t-shirt and the headband. I am proud to call myself a broski. What they were doing is they were handing out Santa hats, mm-hmm. you know, before the show, and I was fortunate enough to get myself one. So what I did was I took the broski headband and put it around the white part of the Santa hat. And my entire goal that night was to somehow get Zack Ryder to see me in that. And at the very end of the show, they all came out and they shook hands with all the troops. And, you know, I managed to actually get his attention. And he saw that. He gave me some special props for that. So I was like, yes!
There you go.
But, of course, you got some pre-TLC. You got a lot of pre-TLC stuff coming up. You know, Rey Mysterio actually showed a face that night as well. Had a very, very awkward moment with the likes of CM Punk, who asked him about how Aaliyah was, and, you know, kind of brought back memories of
the singing,
CM Punk actually had a nice awkward moment with Rey Mysterio regarding whenever they feuded, of course, whenever he was trying to get Mysterio to join the Straight Edge Society all those years ago, and asked him how Aaliyah was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very, very comical, very almost awkward, so to speak. That was very enjoyable for those of us who have been following the sport for some odd years. But, who else performed that night? Main event was a six-man tag match. The Miz, Alberto Del Rio, and Mark Henry versus Cena, CM Punk, and The Big Show. You know, just like I said, they were all good matches. I had a great time. I probably missed a couple here and there. I got so caught up in it. It was incredible. We had a stand-up comedian coming out, and that George Wallace. Mm-hmm. I'd be thinking. He brought down the house. It was incredible. Like I said, tribute to the troops. It was it was really special for me because this was my very first WWE event. After following it for all these years, tonight was my very first experience for a live WWE event, and it was so incredible. I'll never forget it.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time, and thank you for giving us calling in. I guess, and you know. Some details on what's happening on Tribute to Troops this week.
Indeed. I'm sorry about the couple of spoilers. You know,
it's all good.
Hopefully, I didn't ruin anything. Ruin anything cool. Hopefully, and from what I was told, it was going to be airing sometime like Tuesday.
Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on the USA Network.
Yeah, it's all good. Don't worry about it.
It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, if you look for the guy with the Santa hat and the broski headband around it,
we will do.
Yeah, of course I'll be wearing the good old army greens because that's how I got my free ticket in ringside seats.
There you go. Thank you for calling.
That's the best part about. Hey, enjoy you guys. You have a good night.
You too.
Thanks, man. You too.
Alright, bye.
Yeah, it was the Phantom who was at Tribute to the Troops live taping tonight, dropping a couple of spoilers.
That's
and talking
cool
about
stuff.
His experience.
Yeah, say, I told you, Tim, I'd get someone on from the Tribute to the Troops show.
Yeah, 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 I know.
I have that kind of pull, yo.
Yeah.
Anyway, where were we? What were we talking about before?
We're about to talk about the World Heavyweight Championship chairs match, Mark Henry versus Big Show.
Woohoo.
Chairs. Mark Henry versus Big Show, Ellen.
Why are we being forced to watch this again?
Because WWE likes to do things in threes.
Yeah, once again, we get to watch Brontosaurus wrestle Tyrannosaurus Rex. Guess what? Didn't like this match at Survivor Series. Really not going to like it at TLC.
Is this going to be a title-changing match, guys, or just another beatdown?
No, Big Show will win the title.
No belt.
Big Show's going to win the title.
No, he's not.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. I think Big Show wins its chairs match. Will we see Kane return?
No.
No.
No?
No.
No.
He's gonna come back on Raw with his mask in a couple weeks.
There you go. There's your spoiler for the night.
Yes.
I guess.
Kane comes back in a mask on Raw in a couple weeks.
Alright. So the next matchup is WWE Championship TLC match. It's a triple threat, CM Punk versus Del Rio versus The Miz.
There's not a chance Punk loses?
No, I don't think so. What do you think, Omega?
Pretty much agree. This is going to be the end for Del Rio for a while, too.
All right. And Spug?
Punk.
Alan?
I'll go with the wannabe straight edge guy. He's got a one. What are you going to do with... You're setting Mania up from this match alone. Punk walks out of here without the belt. Mania gets cluttered already. So Punk's got to walk out the champ.
Yeah, well, it'd be... It's
unless something happens on Raw tomorrow night.
Too many
gets
title
involved
changes.
In the match again.
Too many title changes too quickly. I don't think that's going to happen tomorrow night, Alan. But what are the chances that Punk and Miz... team up to get rid of Del Rio and then score up against each other, or vice versa, Del Rio and The Miz
Anything's
against Punk. Anything's
possible.
And now, Omega, you said Alberto Del Rio is gone after this. What do you mean?
Well, he's just out of the title picture for a while. Look how long he's been hanging around with Punk as it is. I mean, boring and tired, and they've got to build Miz back up now. Mm-hmm. So it's basically WWE 101, where you've got a feud that, you know, you want to end off, but you want to lead right into the next one. Usually they do that with a tag match on the next Raw or something. This time, it's triple threat. We're going to go from Punk and Del Rio to Punk and Miz.
Yeah. And I don't find a problem with that, but do you figure that they used Del Rio for the Mexico trip and that was absolutely it? We expected to see him carry the title as they went on their tour, and then we expected him to drop the title as soon as they come back to the States?
Pretty much.
So how much longer will it be before Del Rio is back in the title picture? Anybody?
Next year at Survivor Series.
A whole year. Wow. Alan?
So what are you going to do? You're going to put him in mid-card again? He falls back to taking on Santino and those guys?
I'm tired of him in the main event. You know, he has to start over.
Yeah, not necessarily start over, but step down.
Yeah, step down and, you know, work his way back up.
Okay, what do you think, Spud?
I can agree with that.
A whole year before they bring him back into the title picture. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be after Mania.
Okay, now, what do you do with John Cena?
My suggestion was have him ref the U.S. title match.
Oh.
Huh?
Omega?
Jeez, I have no idea.
Because there's nothing else for him to do, and you don't want to see him in the title match, so...
No, he can... Jeez.
He can carry Triple H and Kevin Nash up the ladder? He is Superman, after all?
Or screw over Dolph Ziggler for the title?
That, too.
But by reffing that match.
Yeah, by reffing that match, because you have to, you know... WWE is going to want to promote John Cena doing something on the pay-per-view.
That's really hard to figure out, because, you know... TLC is not far away, and John Cena's most recent feud is with Roddy Piper.
Or Johnny Ace, for that matter.
That's the question. What do you do with John Cena?
Let's ask this bug guy.
Keep him off the card.
Ooh. Can we just do that?
That's my. I don't think it's going to hurt that one time he's not on the card.
Yeah. Well, you know he's going to get involved somehow, some way, next Sunday night.
That's fine.
How would you feel about him refereeing the U.S. title match?
It wouldn't bother me. It really
Ziggler
wouldn't.
Ziggler versus Ryder? Or, yeah, is it Ryder?
Yeah, it's Ziggler versus Ryder, yeah.
Yeah, really? Really not going to bother me.
All right. Well, that being said, we're going to take our next little time out. Everybody listen to TR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We've got a couple of things that we want to actually show you on the Justin TV player. You're going to want to see this. This concerns the cryptic video vignettes that we've been seeing the last few weeks on WWE programming. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane.
At least they're not.
is the Slammer, the craziest man in the history of Canadian all-pro wrestling. And I'm here to let you know that just like every other victim that has ever stepped foot with me in the ring, well, guess what? You're next. Oh, wow. You're tuned into Wild Talk Radio. Don't get fired.
WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome back. That was a good song. I like that song. Life is a Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spud, Omega, Rock is sending you a couple of photos you need to take a look at because you guys are not in the chat room. You can't see what's going on, but they're... currently on the Justin TV player, and this concerns that mysterious cryptic video clip.
Oh boy, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of things in there.
Fine. You're interrupting my game of a Japanese game you've never heard of.
Okay, well, quit playing Japanese World of Warcraft and look at the photos, Mom. Because everybody else is seeing them, and you guys got to see these things.
It's Jericho. We've known it for 2 weeks. Nobody cares.
Well, you know, a lot of people are fans of the fact that he's coming back. Yeah, that's right. Those cryptic video clips that we've been seeing on WWE programming, they've actually got viral videos out there all over the interwebs. And this is a couple of screen captures I took after I actually downloaded the video and watched it literally frame for frame. And, you know, just falling into the same thing as what happened when we were taunted with trying to break the code.
Yeah, they still look fake to me. But you mentioned something to me either earlier today or last night about there was another cryptic message about it, too.
Oh, what did I mention?
Something about Y2J and how that, you know, came together.
Oh, yeah, something about the video being posted on YouTube for the 2nd of January, Y2J. Now, this is not me bringing up the conspiracy theory. This is somebody overanalyzing and going too deeply into it. It's, I think, a coincidence, but at the same time, kind of a spooky, eerie coincidence, Rock.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, some people look too far into things. You also sent me a clip. You want to play that 4-second clip, too?
Yeah, go ahead. Did you make that out? Did you hear that?
I heard it.
Like a demon from Underworld talking.
Well, play it one more time. Listen very, very carefully. That was buried in the video clip. Now, with my video editing software, I'm able to pull it right out just like I did those screen captures, amplified it just a little bit. And if you couldn't quite make it out, those of you listening, the phrase is, I'm the best in the world at what I do. Who says that, Omega?
Wolverine.
Smartass.
I was going to say this is all building up to the return of Dave Bautista.
CM Punk.
Well, CM Punk's already there. Come on.
You asked, who says I'm the best in the world?
At what I do.
At what I do.
I've heard CM Punk say that.
No, he says I'm the best in the world, not the best in the world at what I do.
Anywho.
Anyway. Yeah. So, here's the thing. He's still apparently in contract negotiations with WWE. He posted, I believe it was on Twitter, he's never going to wrestle for WWE again. And Jericho has made a name for himself to the point of absurdity that every time he tells you he's turning left, he's turning right. So, despite everything that has gone on between him and WWE, for example, not being included in WWE 12 and a couple other things, those vignettes are apparently for Chris Jericho, in case you guys hadn't had that figured out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Apparently, Tim, did you hear this story about how Brodus Clay was supposed to be having his own House of Pain, or Hall of Pain, as it were?
Oh, something about it. He did some kind of a movie for WWE Studios earlier on this year.
No.
Oh, the other thing. Oh, okay.
The other thing, you know how Mark Henry has the Hall of Pain, but Brodus Clay actually pitched the idea.
The House of Pain.
Could that be why we haven't seen Brodus Clay yet? After how many weeks, Omega, have they been promoting him?
I lost track.
Yeah, so, you know, somebody comes up with an idea. Hey, that's a great idea. Oh, by the way, we can't use you on TV for 5 months. Hey, Mark Henry, got something for you. Come here. Seniority has its privileges.
You know, it's bad enough when WWE just kind of rips off their own ideas from like 15 years ago. And now it's another thing when someone comes up with something new and they rip it off for somebody else.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do a new thing here called a reaction. I'm going to tell you guys a couple of news items and we're going to get your reactions to them. One news item for you, Omega, and one for you, Spug. But before we do that, I read just a couple of days ago, Joni Lore, China, is actually listed with some company as a porn star escort, and this escort company says you got to call for her rates. Now, this will be interesting because apparently, according to rumor, she's asking for $5,000 per appearance at indie shows. I just thought it was kind of funny that she was listed as a porn star escort.
Yeah.
So.
That's a pretty complicated job title for a whore.
Yeah, there you go. So, moving on, this new little mini featurette segment called Reaction. Spug, we'll ask you the first, we'll give you the first segment, get your reaction to it. The first news clip. Triple H was ranked number 20 on Boston Phoenix Unsexiest Men of 2011 survey. It's ranking the 100 least appealing dudes. Triple H top 20.
Okay. He is kind of ugly in the face.
Oh, and this is bombing. Awesome.
Well, yeah.
But I don't care. Like, he was rated in the top 20 of ugliest looking dudes by bot. Who gives a fuck?
Okay, there you go.
He has more money than Jesus, more world titles than Bret Hart's ever going to see. Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Can't get through a week with Spug without a swipe of Bret. Omega, your turn. As reported earlier, former WWE talent Amy Duma, also known as Lita, was arrested Friday in Columbia County, Georgia, on charges of speeding in excess of maximum limits and driving with a suspended license. She's released on $2,200 bond, and she's already poked fun at the matter. She tweeted Saturday afternoon, "You guys make a Team Extreme jailbird graphic yet? Get to work, you slackers." React to that.
It was only a matter of time. Jeez. Yes, Amy Dumas pulled over for blowing a .08 in several truckers. First time she's been in a jail cell without a camera filming her, and the first time a frisking search turned up syphilis.
There you go. See, that one was not that did not bomb, Rock.
Omega saved your segment, Tim.
Omega saved that one. Yeah. You know what? Fuck this. Let's just pronounce her name the way it's spelled phonetically, Amy Dumbass, and move on. Time for the WTR Roundtable.
This would be the Roundtable. Anthony Dancy Roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
All right, for the last 10 years, in the last 10 years, who is the most underused wrestler? Spud.
I don't fucking know.
All right, before so give Spud a minute to think. I went on Facebook and on Twitter, and I got some responses. People have chimed in with the likes of William Regal, Drew McIntyre. One person chimed in with Steve Blackman. Nathan Jones. Shelton Benjamin. We've also had one for Christian. Samoa Joe. I believe there was one for... And some guy named the Mace Thing on Twitter said Gail Kim.
Who's that?
I have no idea. There's also one for John Morrison. So, those are some of the names that people out there have said.
Omega.
Underused person.
You could make cases for Morrison. Gail Kim, I'd argue, no. Because when her first tenure in TNA, she was used pretty damn well. She's pretty much the women's roster back then. The Mark in me would go for RVD, if only because he was been active that entire decade, only got one title run with the WWE, which came way later than it was deserved, and he's in TNA now, opening the pay-per-view.
I'm not gonna let that go, are you?
No fucking chance! You've got Christopher Daniels and Rob Van Dam, two of the best talents, to the single best talents in the world, and they're curtain jerkers. What, TNA, what the fuck are you doing? So yeah, Morrison I can make a case for, he hasn't been active the whole decade, so I'd make the case for RVD. And coming in at a third, Braden Walker.
What about you, Tim?
Most underused?
The most underused wrestler in the last 10 years.
I could think of a few that are the most misused. I don't know about underused. Underutilized. I would kind of sort of have to lean towards Morrison a little bit. They never used him right, and they didn't use him enough properly. Really.
And the popular choice would be, Samoa Joe and how he should always get the push, but since he's gotten out of shape,
They've been using him. He got abducted by ninjas.
Oh, that's who he got abducted by?
Well, yeah, he was abducted by really weird-looking ninjas.
Weird-looking ninjas.
Weird fucking ninjas. So there you go. I think maybe we'll just move on to the great debate.
Also, one other one. Someone pointed out Funaki.
My vote goes to Funaki.
SmackDown number one.
Number one, Anata.
Yeah. Now,
what about Kung Fu Naki?
Kung Fu Naki.
Everybody,
we can make his gimmick even more racist.
Great debate.
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate.
For the last few weeks, I come out here and I sit here and listen to you spend your little nursery rhymes about Jabroni Avenue or Know Your Own Boulevard. You better get your ass serious, because Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to take his ass to Philadelphia, check right in to the SmackDown Hotel, roll right in to room 316, and burn that son of a bitch to the ground.
You know, the crowd just came from the bathroom. You should have smelled what The Rock was cooking. I ain't faking. You should have smelled what The Rock was baking.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Here we go. Tonight we got the NCW NWO taking on Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes. And the other one is Jericho.
Wait.
WCW, NWO.
You said anyway.
Well, I meant WCW. Pay attention to what I mean and not what I say.
I try to follow along all the time.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so we got WCW taking on NWO, going up against Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes. The other one's Chris Jericho versus Triple H taking on Ric Flair versus Sting. Let's start with this one and go to Omega.
The
greatest feuds of all time.
Which one are we starting with?
Y2J versus Triple H against Ric Flair versus Sting.
Oh, hands down, Ric Flair and Sting. That's WCW in a nutshell right there.
Before the invasion of the former WWF stars.
We're getting there.
There you go. Okay. Spug.
What was that?
You know, it was Ric Flair and Sting, and I don't think I need to preface that answer. I don't think I need to expound anymore.
No, you cut out. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, you cut out, so that's what. But yeah, it's unanimous. Flair versus Sting over Jericho for Triple H. Yeah, Jericho Triple H was good, but it wasn't monumental or momentous, and it didn't carry the entire fucking company like Flair Sting did. And as Omega said, that was WCW before the whole major Monday Night Wars thing took off. Next one, WCW taking on NWO versus Ric Flair taking on Dusty Rhodes. Bug.
NWO and WCW. Unfortunately, this is one of those that is up against a really good feud in Flair-Dusty, but Flair-Dusty didn't have the kind of monumental impact that WCW-NWO did.
Yeah. Omega.
I have to agree with that. This, Flair and Dusty is a great feud to go, that really should go farther, but this was a bad draw for it. You know, WCW versus NWO was revolutionary. I mean, that's absolutely groundbreaking, and they've been trying to replicate it ever since. You know, they mostly being the people who wrote it to begin with.
Exactly, yeah. Flair Rhodes was, monumental, and it was one hell of a feud, but it wasn't epic on the same scale, and it wasn't as influential on the business as WCW NWO, with NWO being so big that you had like NWO Black and White, Red and White, you had the Latino World Order, you had NWO Japan. I mean, it was a global phenomenon. So, moving on, WCW versus NWO and Ric Flair versus Sting on this edition of The Great Debate.
And next week, it'll be Austin versus McMahon taking on Ric Flair and Randy Orton. And the other one is Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn taking on Owen Hart against Bret Hart.
Oh. Damn, that's going to be an interesting debate. I got to have to tune in.
You're going to be on the show. You're going to have to make an opinion.
I'm going to have to make an opinion?
Yes, you're going to have to give an opinion.
Voice an opinion?
Voice an opinion, because will Tim Stein go against Bret Hart?
Tune in to find out next Sunday night right here on WTR Sunday Night. With that being said, hey, Rock, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
And we're going to start with the one, the only, Omega. What is your favorite top rope finishing move?
Jesus. It's tricky. I've always been partial to the 450. There's just such a spin going on, it looks like it hurts like hell when it hits.
Any ones in particular?
Not offhand, no.
Brock Lesnar's, because it fucks up his head.
That's a shooting star.
Yeah.
Where are you? I'm flipping the other way, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Just how about this? Anyone but Juventud Guerrero's, because I'm not going to give him the credit.
Spock, who's wrestling's greatest brawler?
Mick Foley. Or Bruiser Brody. It's one of the two.
And somewhere in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Brawler sheds a tear.
I would have said Archie the Stomper Goldie.
And then the tear pins him for three count.
Of course.
Tim, out of the current crop of wrestlers in the industry today, whose biography would you like to read when their career is over?
Now, is this somebody who hasn't written a book yet and you're waiting until the career is over?
Yeah, someone who hasn't written a book yet.
Well, he's not in the he's not on the scene anymore in TNA. Never did make it to WWE, thanks to Teddy Hart, long story. But he's still active and he's on my roster, and just because of his writing style and the stories he has to tell, I'd read Divine's book, and I could just picture the cover. The title would be Divine Intervention.
That sounds like a DVD to me.
There you go.
Spug, because I'll ask you this one first. Would you ever hire China to be your escort?
No, I don't hire dudes to be my escort.
Unless they're named Triple H.
Well, that's a given. Yeah, okay. I don't hire dudes to be my escort.
Okay, just making sure. Tim, the best thing about running shows in a bar is?
Wow, boy. Well, the waitresses had really big cans.
That's your reason?
No, well, you know, it's not really. It was just an observation, really. It's a guaranteed sellout. The crowd is guaranteed to be hot. And they're guaranteed to really, really push the guys into putting on an incredible show.
Like they did last Thursday night.
At the Border Crossing for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling presents Holiday Havoc. Result. Available soon on
CanadianAllPro.com. CanadianAllPro.com.
Yeah. www.CanadianAllPro.com.
Yes. Did we say CanadianAllPro.com yet? Anyway.
What's that website again?
I think it was CanadianAllPro.com. Okay, Omega, what talk show host do you think would make the best wrestling character?
Talk show host. God, I actually watched talk shows in the last 10 years. You know, it's an absolutely fucking obvious answer, but probably Jerry Springer. Like, I would love to see the dregs of society he brought in to be wrestlers.
That's a good choice. And if you haven't seen it, watch, there's clips online. Go to...
Yeah, aside from that, he's already had referees on his show before.
He'd
make a natural fit. He already knows so much about fake fights.
But if you haven't seen it, go check out TeamCoco.com and see Miz on Conan O'Brien. And they have Miz gives Conan tights and has a name, the Ginger Ninja.
Oh, they went further with that?
Yes. They even put them in WWE 12. Check it out, TeamCoco.com.
Oh boy,
that's Quick Hits.
And everybody, you've been listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Watt Talk Radio Network. Thanks very much for tuning in. Don't forget WWE's TLC pay per view next Sunday night. So we'll be back on the air again at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. This Tuesday night, join Alan Mojack with a host of guests.
The one, the only badass, Billy Gunn, X-Pac, Tammy Sunny Sitch, and the Ring of Honor, Kevin Steen. 4 big interviews this Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern.
You think Alan has the balls to bring up the Kip James saga, the thing that happened in Manitoba?
Not a chance in hell.
Oh, boy.
There you go. Yeah. Well, hey, if there's any consolation, I'm on his side in that whole sordid story.
Right. Anyway, Saturday Night Midnight at CB Radio. You never know who's going to host the show. We did a show with Cindy last night. Check the archive at wildtalkradio.com. We're back every Saturday night, midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, and hey, everybody, don't forget, if you're in the Calgary area, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling presents Season's Beatings next Sunday afternoon, bell time, 1:30, Ross Kirk Community Hall. Check CanadianAllPro.com for details.
Go see Johnny Devine.
Yeah.
Seriously, you pick Johnny Devine over guys like The Undertaker?
That who is who Cowboy Chick would have wanted.
Well, here's the thing about that, Omega. The chances are really good I'll be in his book.
You egotistical fuck.
What's the matter? You don't like a little competition, mister? I got my own press release.
Okay.
I win.
Where's your 10,000 subscribers?
Yeah.
But well, Omega, hey, hold on.
Where's your live audience?
I don't need a live audience. They come to me.
Well, so does my live audience.
And Omega, remember, if he's in the book, he'll probably get a free copy, and you know, you just love free things.
Yeah, no.
Just ask Brock.
Nothing wrong with something for free.
Jackass.
CanadianAllPro.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Join the Canadian AllPro group on Facebook as well, twitter.com/WildTalkRadio and twitter.com/CanadianAllPro.
Yeah. Oh, and one last thing as we get out of here, Rock. I have to take issue with that resume of Tim Stein. Why the fuck would I tell you to get off your own lawn? Good night, everybody. That's just dumb. That's stupid. Get off your lawn!